And I thought, I think Jesus has done everything here. I'm not sure there's much I can really add to this. And I've spent a couple of weeks just going into it, and suddenly certain things have opened up, and I'd just like to share those with you today. So let's pray, Lord, just open our eyes and our ears, open our hearts that we may respond to you. And I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 6, 19 to 34. It's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And the passage, what came to me is, don't worry. And I think this is what the Lord wants to say to the church and every one of you this morning. Don't worry. There is actually lots and lots of worry in the world at the moment. There's a cost of living crisis and inflation going up. There's a war in Ukraine. It is very easy to worry and be anxious. A study looked at the period from 2008 to 2021, and they reported that there's been an explosion in anxiety in this country. They put it down to climate change. They put it down to the COVID pandemic, to social media. All of these things could be blamed for a rise. And anxiety in young people has trebled in 20 years. And this is quite alarming. There are a lot of people hurting at the moment. And the Lord gave me a sense there may even be people in this room hurting at the moment. And he wants me to assure you, you are not alone. If there's anyone listening online hurting, be assured you are not alone. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this means there's hope. And yesterday, a friend had given me a copy of the Heart magazine or the Heart newspaper. And on the front cover, it talked about an ex-soldier who was suicidal. And then he found Jesus. And he found peace. And today's passage in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has the answer. Jesus teaches us what it means to live God's way. He calls us to live radically different from the world, and he calls us to a higher righteousness. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaches on a new way of living, how to relate to other people. And in Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18, Jesus teaches on the new way to relate to God. And in this passage, Matthew 6, there are themes about money and possessions and wealth and treasure. There are themes of worry and trust. And throughout all of this, there's God's providential love. Matthew 6 has challenged me in the last couple of weeks. It's made me look at what is my faith. It's made me think and examine my motives and my priorities. And it may ask you too, what is it that you value? And what is it that you worry about? In verses 19 to 24, Jesus invites the disciples and us to consider some alternatives here, to weigh them up carefully, and then make a choice. And the reason we're looking at the passage starting at 19 is that Jenny said it goes from 25, therefore. This section, 19 to 24, is going to make sense of 25 to 34. Consider these alternatives, weigh them up carefully, and then make a choice. Firstly, Jesus talks about two treasures, verses 19 to 21. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. What does Jesus mean, treasures on earth? Jesus said, don't store up treasures on earth. He's not banning possessions and wealth. He's not renouncing it, and he's not forbidding it. God made all things, including food and clothing and precious metal, and he said they're good. But Jesus is warning his followers not to accumulate possessions on earth that go beyond our basic needs. And the background to all of this is, in this time when Jesus is speaking, the people are extremely poor. You might have a second coat. You might just have one. You might not have any. And if you've got two, you'd use it as a blanket to cover you at night. So people who were wealthy had cloth and clothes that were really, really expensive. It was a sign of their wealth. And clothes would be handed down as heirlooms, and you could inherit someone's clothes. And this means that they valued them and they treasured them and they locked them up because the clothes to them was precious. And they wanted to protect it from the moths that would corrupt the fabric. If they owned any precious metals, they'd bury it in a box in the ground in their house. They're trying to stop the thieves from coming in. They were hiding it. But then it would corrupt through rust. Jesus is saying that treasures on earth are corruptible, and therefore they're insecure. But treasures in heaven are incorruptible, and therefore they're secure. Verse 20, let's look at the alternative. Treasures in heaven. And treasures in heaven is the idea of eternal rewards. It means obeying God and helping others. It means using your assets in all areas of your life, helping those in need, especially those in the church, and supporting the work of the gospel for the glory of God. Treasures in heaven are each time you go into your room and close the door and pray. Treasures in heaven is when you put into practice Jesus' teaching, and each time that you say yes to Jesus. The wise, therefore, store up treasures in heaven where it cannot be lost and it will never wear out. Jesus is saying that what you treasure most, you'll focus on. But his concern is not wealth, but with our hearts and with our loyalty to God. Earthly rewards are temporary. Heavenly rewards are eternal. And he's asking us to make a choice. And if we choose heavenly rewards, he's asking us to live as if heavenly rewards matter. The second choice Jesus asks us to make is two visions or two eyes, verses 22 to 23. And the idea here is that the eye is the source of light to the body. The first eye, if it's healthy, it means that the entire body will be filled with light. And in Jewish and Greek thinking, if the eye is good, it will focus on the things of God and it will be generous. However, if the eye is unhealthy, some versions say bad or sick or even evil, if the eye is unhealthy, it means it cannot see. If the eye is full of darkness, then the whole body is full of darkness. And in the ancient world, they'd speak about the evil eye, which was jealousy or greed or self-centeredness. Jesus is the light. But if the eye is full of darkness, it's spiritually blind. The unhealthy eye covets and hoards earthly possessions, which will decay. The healthy eye stores up treasures in heaven, which will never decay and never lose their value. So if your aim in life is material gain, you may find there's darkness within. But if your aim is to serve and glorify God, you'll have light within you. And finally, the Lord simplifies the issue for us. So he's talked about two treasures, where is your heart? And two visions, where do you fix your eye? And the light or the darkness? And now he asks about two masters. No one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And the conclusion, he says, is you cannot serve both God and money. Now, the translation is actually mammon or mammon. In the older versions, the King James, it says you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is an Aramaic word meaning money and wealth and property and possessions. It's all of this. And here Jesus gives us two options. It's an either or. It's an either or. You cannot serve two masters simultaneously. Here he says, you'll either hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and hate the other. To serve wealth, therefore, is to despise God in this thinking. That's a terrible thought. God and wealth are polar opposites, and ultimately we'll have to make a choice. The issue, Jesus says, is not wealth itself, but undivided commitment to God. And Jesus is clear, you cannot serve money and God. God has to come first. So why has he asked these three questions? If we answer and we turn to God at this point, this is therefore going to be why we don't worry. He's getting his disciples to make a decision. And then he's saying, verse 25, therefore, don't worry. If you've made that decision, you won't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body and what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Verse 25, do not worry. There's six of them in here. Do not worry. And this is a command. The word for worry that's used is merimeneo. I probably pronounced that wrong, but it means to be anxious or overly concerned about something. And worry means anticipation of a future negative event. Worry involves fear and is the opposite of faith. And today, the demands of the world produce anxiety. Studies show that anxiety actually shortens life, and it can also make it miserable. A study at Penn State University says the average person worries 3 or 4 times a day, and 91% of these worries never happen. And I don't know about you, but I think I worry more than 3 or 4 times a day. Somebody's been paid a lot of money for that research, okay? But 91% of them never happen. Timothy Keller, the theologian and pastor, says that anxiety means that we're trying to control what is uncontrollable. We want to be in control of things. We're trying to be the master of our own life, and we're not. Anxiety makes us try to provide for ourselves. And Jesus knows that worry is a burden for us. And that is why God's faithful provision is the antidote to worry. And this is why Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Verse 26, consider the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away food in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than this? This is the first example that Jesus uses. He asks us to consider. Some version says, look at the birds. But in others it says, consider. Consider means Jesus wants us to think about this. It's important. Don't just look at the birds. Consider them. God feeds them and they always have enough to live. The birds is a metaphor for our life and for food. They don't sow or harvest crops or store food in a barn, but the birds trust God to provide for them. And this is the point. You're more important than the birds. Verse 27. Can any one of us, by worrying, add a single hour to our life? And this word is interesting here, which is this single hour is helikia. It means height. And it also means age. So you can take your pick. And the height is in terms of a cubit. A cubit is from here to here, and average is about 18 inches. So can anyone add 18 inches to their height? That would be something, wouldn't it? No, we can't. And we can't add even a minute to our life. It's God that can do that. Worry cannot add a cubit to your height, a minute to your lifespan, and anxiety does no good. Second example, verse 28. Jesus talks about the lilies of the field. They represent our bodies and clothes. These lilies, they don't work to strive, and yet they're absolutely beautiful. Since God cares enough to clothe the fields, friends, he's going to clothe you. Verse 29, even King Solomon, in his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. And here, I have to say, Jesus is actually speaking at the top of the Mount of the Beatitudes. The whole Sea of Galilee is before him. He can see 8 miles down, and there are mountains all the way around, like a natural amphitheater. And people coming up to listen to Jesus on the hill. And on the hill, there is, around the Sea of Galilee, there is these beautiful red and purple anemones. Probably haven't pronounced that right. And these blue irises and these lilies. It's absolutely beautiful as you're going up to the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus is saying that all of this beauty is so much greater than what King Solomon's robes looked like, the wealthiest man in the world in his time, who had the most splendid clothes. Even his clothes could not compare to the beauty that God creates. And this is why he's saying, you have little faith. This is another challenge to the disciples. 5 times Jesus says this. You have little faith. It doesn't mean they didn't have any faith, but their faith was lacking. It was deficient in some way because they were worrying. The disciples failed to trust in Jesus. But since God feeds the birds and clothes the fields, how much more will he take care of you? So do not worry what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you will wear. For the pagans seek all these things, and the reason your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 31, here's another, do not worry. Do not worry about the needs for today. Jesus is basically calling us to reorient ourselves and to realign ourselves with what he's teaching. And by doing this, refuse to worry. Don't be like the pagans who don't trust in God. Jesus is telling us, trust in God. And the word here for the pagans, ta ethne, means nations. Don't be like the nations. The nations was anybody who was non-Jewish or a non-believer. The nations are consumed with material things and they ignore God. They have no knowledge of the Heavenly Father. So they have no antidote for anxiety. But you and I, we do. Jesus says, the Father knows what you need. Put your complete trust in him. And the key verse, verse 33. Instead of dwelling on those things, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things you worry about will be added to you. Seek the Lord first. Seek his things first. And these things will be given to you. And this is a promise. And it's interesting that what we seek is given, not achieved. This is something God gives us, not something we can strive for. Seek God's kingdom as a priority. Earlier on in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13, he taught the disciples how to pray. He taught them the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, the first verses are focused on God first and then what we need. And Jesus is saying, put your focus on God first, and then all these things will be given to you. We should pray for God's kingdom. We should seek his righteousness and not our own. And this means living God's way and doing good and doing what is right, what he's taught us to do. Friends, God must be first in our lives. And the Father will repay you treasures in heaven. And think about this, what a testimony that would be for a world if all of us, all the followers of Jesus, lived out Matthew 6:33 and that command. I think that's a testimony the world needs to see. And there's an example here. There's a very famous sea captain back in Queen Elizabeth's the first time. And she wanted to send him off to look for treasures. And he had his own business at home. And he said, Mama, I'd like to go, but what about my business? And Queen Elizabeth the first is reported to have said, you look after my business and I'll look after yours. And this is what our Heavenly Father will do for us. So don't worry about tomorrow. Since God has promised to take care of us, it means that we don't need to worry and we don't need to be anxious about what will happen in the future. Jesus said, each day has enough trouble of its own. And God gives us sufficient grace to live each day. And we must learn to live one day at a time. We need to place all of our needs under his providential care. God doesn't guarantee that our lives will be without trouble. He knows about these things, and when they come, he'll deal with them. But he does promise us that we'll always have his love and his care, and that in all things we'll work together for good for those that love him. So let's finish this. I'm just looking at a little bit we can take away from this passage today. Back in 2012, I had a period of anxiety. My dad was in hospital, and it was coming towards the end of his life, and he'd been in and out of hospital for about a year. And I remember visiting him just shortly before he died. And I was really anxious. He could tell I was worried, and he said to me, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. And I was there thinking that I've got nothing wrong with me in my life at the moment, but my dad, he's got everything wrong and he's so full of peace. And I didn't know this at the time, but he'd just become a Christian. He was amazing, and he's telling me, don't worry. I want to share this with everybody else. Don't worry. This week I've been looking at what commentators have said on this passage, and many of them have said, it's a sin to worry. And this troubled me because I worry more than three or four times a day. It convicted me. But then I realized that Jesus says in John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. And he never says that a troubled heart is a sin. And I looked at the times when Jesus had a troubled heart. He had a troubled heart when Lazarus died. He had a troubled heart when his hour had come in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he had a troubled heart when Judas betrayed him. And if the Lord had a troubled heart, he's not judging us. He knows that it's a burden. And in our lives, we might have a lack of dependence on God, which produces worry and anxiety, but it's not a sin. It's a burden that needs to be lifted. And if you're feeling worry or anxiety this morning, Jesus has an answer. Jesus is the answer. And the minute you say, I don't want to be the center of my life anymore, Jesus, I want you to be the center of my life. Lord, I don't want to control my own life anymore. I want you to control it. And the minute you say, Lord, I'm not going to worry because you know what's best for me, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will fill your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I've got a little mnemonic that I'd like you, I don't know if you'll remember this, this is the best I could come up with. It's RRCC, refuse, sorry, realize first, realize, refuse, cast and center. Realize, refuse, cast and center. Realize that you've got a Heavenly Father who loves you. Refuse to worry. Cast all your anxieties on Him. And center your life on Jesus. Refuse, realize, or the other way around, cast and center. And friends, I think if we do this each time we worry or are tempted to worry, this will help us. So in conclusion, six times Jesus said in this passage, don't worry. Don't worry about your life or your body, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink and what clothes you're going to wear. The Father will feed you and clothe you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Trust in God. This is the choice we have. In Matthew 6, 19 to 34, the passage we've looked at today, what we have learnt is that worry underestimates the power of God to provide. Verse 25. Worry underestimates God's care for us. Worry is counterproductive. Worry results in misplaced priorities. Worry underestimates God's knowledge of our situation. And worry results in a focus on tomorrow instead of today. Jesus, we've learned, says not to value possessions, not to value them enough to seek them, and not to value them enough to worry about them. We're to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And do you know what? I had a revelation yesterday. Treasures in heaven is Jesus. We're going to see the Lord himself. That is our treasure. Jesus teaches us that wealth doesn't actually matter, but God's blessing does. Don't worry and trust God. He cares for you and he's going to supply all your needs. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this truth in your word. Lord, I pray, give us the wisdom to make that decision, to make those choices, and to turn to you, to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. And Lord, we trust that all those other things we need will follow. Father God, we say right now, you are all we need each day. And I want to pray a blessing over each and every one of you here today, that God will give you the power to break any worry or anxiousness in your life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you. Just going to finish our service with a song. It's the only song Martin chose, and it's called Not a Slave to Fear. We are no longer slaves.